Welcome to Wibbinga. Welcome to the Justice for All podcast show, where we discuss all things social and criminal justice related, from the front end to the back end, and everything in between. You have a right to remain silent, because anything you say can and will be held against you. You have a right to an attorney. If you cannot afford one, one will be appointed for you. You're in the self-incrimination protection zone, where there is no cruel and unusual punishment, no illegal search and seizure. The exclusionary rule has you covered. So sit back, relax, and become sold on this week's episode.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Justice for All podcast show. I'm DeWitt Bingham, your host. Thank you for tuning in to the show that discusses all things social justice and criminal justice, where the goals are to inform you, the American citizen, of your constitutional rights, to provide educational and occupational guidance to high school and college students, and to be a voice for change. I'm excited about today's show. We are in the eighth week of the 2023 fall semester at Heartland Community College, and we are studying courtroom participants. So we are moving right along, and we have a wonderful guest for you today that is going to talk about the prosecutor. So without any further ado, I introduce to some and present to others, Ms. Heather Webb. Welcome to the show, Heather.
Thank you for having me.
I need to tell the audience once again for 2 weeks in a row. The partner that Heather was going to have, I'm thinking, might have dropped the course. And so, just like last week, a portion of the student's grade is based on diversity. And so, we will not be holding that against Heather on this week either. But before we actually have you introduce yourself, Heather, how's things going? Are you having any problems with Canvas?
Not at all. Everything's going pretty smooth. I'm getting my assignments turned in on time, and everything's pretty great. So,
all right. And you are doing quite well, I might add. So, segment one, Heather, is for the educational and occupational guidance of high school and college students. We accomplish this by having our guests introduce themselves. So, if you would, tell the audience where you were born and raised, what high school you attended, why you took this course, and give us one career goal.
All right. So I was born in Bloomington, Illinois. I did go to Bloomington High School, but I ended up receiving my GED from Heartland Community College's GED program.
Wonderful.
I am currently a 911 dispatcher for the city of Bloomington.
Oh, my. That's awesome.
Yeah. So I'm taking criminal justice to kind of like broaden my understanding of laws and procedures while also opening up future opportunities for a career path, either in criminal justice or psychology. So, yeah.
I'm really surprised now because I didn't ask you what you did prior to the show. You mentioned prior to coming on the air that what you were doing is related to criminal justice, and that is really putting it mildly.
A little elusive with my answers.
I walked into, I think it was Peoria City Police Department, and just watching the 911 call center part of the police department is just amazing what you guys do, mm-hmm. what you guys have to take in, what you guys have to observe, and how you have to go about doing that. So how you like it?
I love it. I have an amazing team. I couldn't have asked for a better career to step into, to be honest. So after working in healthcare, it's a blessing. And I've been there for about a year and a half now.
Very good. All right, let's move on. Segment two, constitutional rights. Segment two is to inform the American public of their constitutional rights. But before we asked you to tell us what your favorite constitutional right is and why, let's remind the audience that today's episode is entitled The Prosecutor. The first question that I want to ask you is, what role does the police play in prosecution? You really know, you probably didn't even have to take Mr. Bingham's class to really know how to answer these questions that I have picked out to ask you today. But Tell us, in your own words, what role does the police play in prosecution?
So police file the reports charging the person with a crime or sometimes multiple crimes. They work together with the prosecution to investigate and compile necessary evidence prior to the arrest of the suspect. They take initial statements from those involved, including witnesses, and carrying out investigations.
See, audience, that's why we need 911 callers to take my class so they can inform you of what really goes on in the front end of the process. Very good, Heather. So who determines if official charges are going to be filed, the police or the prosecutor?
The prosecutor.
Okay, very good. And as you stated, the police are the first responders. And even before police actually know about anything, you guys probably get a call.
That's most of the time. That's correct.
Okay. What is the Pretrial Fairness Act? Have you heard of that?
I have. And I, before today, I actually had reviewed some of it.
In your own words, tell the audience what the Pretrial Fairness Act is.
So the Pretrial Fairness Act eliminates the role of cash bond. It makes it to where people who are accused of certain charges are detained pretrial, and they're only being jailed if a judge finds that they pose a risk of flight or a threat to society. So
wonderful. And so, as you mentioned, there's no more cash bond in the state of Illinois. Is that correct?
Correct.
And so individuals can no longer be held in a jail setting for purposes of making a payment or bonding themselves out, audience, in the state of Illinois. What are the two important factors in determining pretrial release? I think you mentioned it already.
I was going to say, I think that it's if the suspect could pose a potential danger to society or if they're a flight risk.
Wonderful. Yes. In juvenile detention, we call that immediate and urgent necessity. And so in pretrial detention proceedings, the prosecutor should bear the burden of establishing by clear and convincing evidence, the statute points out, that no condition or combination of conditions of release will reasonably ensure the defendant's appearance in court and protect the safety of the community or any person. And as I mentioned, we refer to that as immediate and urgent necessity. Yeah, so their main concern is the protection of the public. Very good. Does any state in the union besides Illinois have cashless bail?
Honestly, I'm not sure if any other state has it. I know that Illinois was the first state to eliminate cash bail. So I'd be interested in hearing if there are other states.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Following bipartisan legislation and a constitutional amendment supported by 62% of voters, New Jersey essentially eliminated cash bail and instituted a risk assessment approach in which judges consider community safety and other factors before deciding whether to detain or release someone before trial. So at least in my research, and I did not know that, Heather, until I actually looked it up, I think Illinois and New Jersey might be the only two states that actually have cashless bail. And so I'm thinking that there's probably going to be other states that's going to follow. It's something to be considered the forerunner, the state of Illinois. I know ahead of the Pretrial Fairness Act, you had a lot of individuals who worked in the system who argued and tried to get everybody, in my opinion, tried to get everybody in an uproar that that was going to cause or drive more crime and that is going to let violent offenders out of jail when they should stay in. Well, the court still has the ability to actually, as you so eloquently put, keep people in secure detention based on the fact that they are a flight risk or they are a risk to the public. And so it's going to be interesting to see the statistics after a 1 year period, because I know for a fact that bail is a money making system. Would you agree?
I would agree.
Because somebody's paying to get individuals released. Okay, what is the prosecutor's role pretrial release hearings?
So the prosecutor determines what charges will be dropped, added, or reduced and they present evidence on whether they should be tried for the offenses. And what I really loved to learn during this chapter was they only want to present enough evidence to convince the court that the defendant should be held over for trial. So I especially like learning that because they don't want to give away their entire strategy initially. So that was cool to learn about. So
good. What is one implication of the Pretrial Fairness Act?
That it was designed to protect an individual's right of innocence until proven guilty, just ending that unconstitutional practice of caging people because they can't afford to buy their freedom.
Wonderful. That is exactly, definitely one of the implications, because when an individual is locked up in jail, if you're locked up in jail for 6 months, a year, or however long, and you're unable to bond out, it just gives the appearance that you're guilty. That's what you're saying, right?
Yeah. And you're just sitting in there because you can't afford to get out. And it's awful. So.
All right. Having said all that, what is your favorite constitutional right?
I honestly had a hard time choosing, as I believe they are all important, but I found myself continuously coming back to the Fifth Amendment. If I ever find myself in trouble, whether I'm guilty or not, I'm not saying a word without speaking to a lawyer, and I'm not saying anything that could incriminate myself, and also double jeopardy preventing me from being tried for the same crime twice, essentially. So.
Wonderful. You were made for the criminal justice system. Very good. Because a lot of people don't understand that if an individual is going to get themselves in trouble, they're going to do it on their own. You don't have to like try to catch people up. I found out as a probation officer, I got a lot more respect when I tried to help individuals, because if they were going to violate and end up in jail or end up going to prison, sooner or later, they were going to get busted for doing something illegal. So you don't have to really try to be the heavy all the time. I mean, there's times where you do have to violate individuals for violating the law or have whatever, but you don't have to come off in that way. Very good. Last question in this segment. We've been asking everybody this semester this question. Is anybody above the law?
Absolutely not. If we expect citizens to obey laws, then those with power must also be held to the same standards, in my opinion. So
wonderful. You sound like a veteran in the criminal justice system. All right. Very good. Moving on. Segment three, being a voice for change. As an emerging adult who grew up in a predominantly white America, what say Heather about white supremacy and Black Lives Matter?
I believe that white supremacy, unfortunately, does exist, and it stems from fear, hate, and arrogance in thinking that one race is better than the rest, whereas Black Lives Matter might also come from a place of fear due to police brutality and honestly, brutality against Black people in general. But it's more about understanding. I don't believe that Black Lives Matter is only about Black lives being important, but that Black lives matter too, and for far too long, those lives have been treated like they don't matter or don't matter as much. And it's sad that we have to have a movement for the United States to hear that, you know, so that's my opinion.
Wonderful. That's excellent opinion. I asked everybody that comes on the show, if you have one thing that you could ask the president of the United States, if there was one thing that you would like to see the Biden administration accomplish, what would that one thing be?
Well, I know that the Biden administration has signed in the Inflation Reduction Act, but I'd like to see more done about reducing the cost of living, including housing and rental prices, and also more regulations on how we dispose of our trash and recycling in America.
Oh, I have never had either of those answers in 2 years. That is really thought-provoking. Do something about the cost of living, housing, and
how we in America dispose of our trash and recycling.
Wow. What made you think of that?
Honestly, when I was asked the question, I'm like, renting is so expensive. Here in Bloomington Normal, if you can get online and look and see, we've got apartments in downtown Bloomington going for like $2,500, which wow. They are luxury apartments. But the cost of living is very expensive. And then also seeing other countries, how strict they are about getting rid of their trash and how they have to have like specific ways of getting their recycling out. It just seems like it's going to be better for the future environment. So
wonderful. Global warming. Do you believe in that?
I do. I'm not sure like to what extent, but right. I do. Okay. I do believe in. Okay. Yeah.
All right. I've been asking pretty much everybody about the cost of college, because certainly when you talk about the cost of rent and inflation, college can be very expensive as well. So what's your thoughts on free community college?
I think community college should be free, that there should be a way to make it free while not affecting how much those who work at those colleges are paid.
Okay. Any thoughts on how race relations can be better?
I think that in order to make race relations better, we have to first admit that there are, in fact, race relations issues in America. I mean, I've heard people say that racism is in the past and that people just need to get over it, like it's not still happening. And it is. I think we all need to be better about listening to each other and understand that while the First Amendment gives people the right to say what they want, I think people who are especially who hold higher authority, they need to be held accountable for their racist remarks and actions.
Excellent. Should a convicted felon be allowed to be president of the United States?
No, okay. In my opinion, no. Okay. Yeah, I don't believe that a convicted felon should be leading our country.
Okay. All right. Should a convicted felon be allowed to vote?
I do think they should be allowed to vote. I believe that people who want the right things would hopefully outweigh those who don't. And people who are convicted felons have paid their dues when they went to prison and when they're let out of prison and on probation or parole. And I think that there are a lot of people out there committing crimes who haven't been caught and are still out there voting. So,
okay. And then finally, marijuana is legal in the state of Illinois. Do you believe that it should be legalized at the federal level?
I do. I do think marijuana should be legalized at the federal level. I just think it would be easier once they have a better way to determine when someone last used marijuana, like they do for alcohol, when it comes to like DUIs and such. So,
all right. Wonderful. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The prosecutor, the role of the police in prosecution, prosecutorial discretion, important constitutional rights, and how to make America a better place to live. Until next time, keep living your best life. God bless. And Godspeed.